We are continuing in Matthew 5 again this morning. So our text is on page 1507 of the Pew Bibles. We're looking at verses 33 to 37. And Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made.' But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Lord, as we come to our text this morning, Lord, I pray that we would learn from your word today. I would pray that we would learn the importance of keeping our word, of keeping our promises, of doing what we say we are going to do. That as Christians, if we cannot be trusted, if we can't be trusted to tell the truth about a promise, that reflects poorly on you. As John tells us, Jesus came bringing grace and truth. We need to tell the truth because you are the truth. And we just cannot be like you if we cannot be trusted with our word. So I pray this morning as we do look to this, that it would be an encouragement. I pray that as we hear from your word this morning, that it would change us, that it would convict us where it needs to, that the Holy Spirit would encourage us where we need encouragement. Amen. So we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, and you know, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, we hear Jesus expounding the Ten Commandments. He is explaining them in full detail, explaining what the commandments actually mean. They had been basically reduced to just words on paper, it wasn't paper at that time, but words on parchment. Jesus is telling us that the Ten Commandments were meant to convict and to change our heart, not just change our surface actions. Later in the New Testament, Paul tells us that the commandments were a tutor, meant to bring us to Christ. He says, without the law, he would not have known sin. The commandments were meant to bring us awareness of our sin. They were meant to make us aware of our need for a Savior. And so in this passage, Jesus is expounding on the third commandment. And the third commandment tells us that we must not use the Lord's name in vain. God's name is holy, and it's not to be used in idle conversation. It's not to be used as a curse word. It's not to be used to seal an oath. You know, we're not to use his name to guarantee we're going to do something, and you know, unless we actually will do that. You know, we often think that using God's name in vain simply means using it as a as a cuss word, but you know, the word vain, it just means emptiness. It's just using it for just the sake of using it kind of as a common word. I remember as a young child, we had a swimming pool. My mom and dad had a swimming pool. I think they got it the year that I was born, so I don't know if that was as a gift to themselves for having me, they got themselves a pool, or if it was just to get away from me. But from the year I was born, my mom and dad had a pool, so of course I grew up with a swimming pool. We always had a pool in the backyard, and so we were always, of course, in the swimming pool. We even tried to talk our dad into letting us ice skate on top of the swimming pool. It was an above-ground swimming pool. Ice skate on top of it in the winter, but dad had nothing, would not go for that. But we were always in the pool. We were always playing games in the pool, and our favorite game was Marco Polo. You know, for those who aren't familiar with the game, it's tag. The person that's it has their eyes closed, and you know, they yell out Marco, and then the other people yell out Polo, so they have an idea of where they are. Now, there's an obvious flaw in this game. You got to depend on the honesty of the person who is it to keep their eyes closed. And if you've ever played this game with my brother, my older brother Scott, you know that he likes to cheat. He was very good at appearing that he had his eyes closed at all the time, and he had these ways of cheating. He would like splash water on his face, and then I got to wipe my face off, and for some reason after that he'd know where you are. Or he would splash water all over in the pool, and you know, magically after he did that, I could hear the water hit you. So in response to this obvious injustice, we did what any child would do. We threatened to tell, right? You know, what do you do when a sibling is treating you wrong? You threaten to go to mom and dad. Well, we all know what happens next. He says, oh, no, I won't do it anymore. You know, don't tell, I promise. I won't cheat. And what is our response? Well, do you swear? You know, now we're getting serious. This whole little deal would go on, and you know, you'd always say, you know, cross your heart and hope to die, stick a needle in your eye. You know, now you're getting I said that earlier this week, and our kids had never heard that. And I thought, I think we failed them as parents. they had never heard that. But, you know, has anyone ever really stuck a needle in their eye for this? I don't think so. But if you really want to nail the person to the wall, you say, you know, cross your heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in your eye. Now, if we wanted to go even farther than that, we would say, all right, do you swear to God that you're going to play fair now? Now, we knew that we should not have used God's name like that, and my parents would have not been real happy if they had heard us doing that. But that was how we knew my brother, you know, was going to be honest. You know, we made him swear on it. We made him take an oath. Now, it's a silly example, but many times promises like that are made and broken quickly without any regard. That's what Jesus is describing here. He's talking about people who use oaths with no intention of ever keeping it. Talking about, you know, I promise I'll find that tonight. You know, I promise I'll do that tomorrow. You know, I promise I'm telling the truth. People use oaths oftentimes to appear more honest or trustworthy. And that's what the Jews of Jesus' day were doing. They're trying to further their own cause. They're trying to get their way. In order to do that, they need to persuade people that they're telling the truth, you know, about something that they knew they were lying about. So to convince the person they're telling the truth, they would swear on it. And they would swear by heaven, or they would swear by the earth, or they would swear by Jerusalem, or they would swear by their own head. And oftentimes while they're making this oath, they had no intention of ever keeping it. You know, that's why they swore by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, by their own head. They knew they could easily break an oath like that, and since they did not swear on the name of God, it was not a sin. You know, at least that's what they thought. They knew the third commandment says we should not use the Lord's name in vain. They knew the commandment meant they were not to use God's name in a reckless manner. You know, they knew that even the name of God is holy and to be revered. Leviticus 19:12 says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So they knew that if they broke an oath that was sworn to by the name of God, that was a horrible sin against God. You know, to use God's name for an oath and then not fulfill that oath would be blatantly breaking the third commandment. You know, it's using God's name to make an oath and then breaking that oath is making God a liar. So what do they do? Well, as I said earlier, they simply didn't swear on God's name. Instead, they swore on heaven, they swore on earth, they swore on the city of Jerusalem. They swore on their own heads, but their hearts were still full of deceit. And Jesus teaches us throughout the Sermon on the Mount that God looks at the heart. You know, God looks at the desires of the heart. God knows that outward actions can be forced while the heart remains impure and stony. And you know, an impure heart is a dishonor to God. So as I said, the Jews would make this oath, and they would swear to heaven, to earth, to Jerusalem on their own head, and they would think that was okay, but each of those is still defiling God. You know, they would say something like, as sure as there is a heaven, you know, I will do this. As sure as there is an earth, I will do that. And the entire time, they're thinking it's okay to swear by heaven or by earth or by whatever, as long as they didn't swear by God. You know, the third commandment, again, forbids swearing in the name of God, but it doesn't appear to say anything about anything else. But swearing by heaven defiles God because heaven is God's dwelling place. Heaven is God's home. Heaven is where God shines his glory from. It's where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's where we all hope to go when this life ends, because it is where God is. And where God is, there is glory, and there is no glory in an unfulfilled oath. Swearing by the earth defiles God because God rules in this world as he rules in heaven. You know, he who created the world has charge over the world. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." You know, the earth is the place that God created to be inhabited by all of us. It's the place where we live our lives and spread the gospel. You know, it's where God calls people to be saved. It's important in God's plan for eternity and for salvation, and you know, he owns it all. You know, therefore, since the earth is his, a promise made by the earth disgraces him if it's not kept. Isaiah 52:1 says, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and unclean shall no longer come to you." You know, Jerusalem is described as the holy city. It tells us nothing defiled will be permitted in the holy city. It's God's city, and it's very special to him. In the book of the Revelation, the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. You know, it's the final heaven, the final dwelling place of God. It's where, you know, all of us who are saved, you know, through the shed blood of Christ, will spend eternity in God's presence. You know, it's quite special to God, so any oath made to Jerusalem can't be separated from God. You know, the Jews would swear by their own head. You know, this was thought to be noble because it's the person's very own life. You know, it's a stick a needle in my eye thing. But who created life? Who created mankind? You know, God is the creator and the giver and sustainer of life. Every life belongs to him. You know, only God decides when a life begins, and only God decides when a life ends. By swearing your own head, you're swearing by your own life, and no one has the right to decide what happens with their own life. That's for God to choose. You know, that's why murder is wrong. Murder is wrong because God is life. You know, suicide is wrong because it's self-murder. You know, abortion is wrong because it's the murder of a baby. You know, all of those things go against the giver of life. Now, we need to be careful too when you talk about things like suicide, you talk about things like abortion. You know, there are churches that say that suicide is the unpardonable sin. That is not the case. You know, there are people that say that if someone dies by suicide, there is no help for them in the eternity, and that is not the case. You know, that is... it's not a judgment that the church can make on a person. Certainly, there are people who have committed suicide who are in heaven with God right now. And, you know, we need to be careful. I have a very firm stance on things like abortion, but we also need to be very careful of those who have gone through that, that we show love and compassion to them, because they don't need judgment. But basically what this boils down to is God created all things, and an oath cannot be made on anything that God did not create. You know, Genesis, first page, right? First chapter. God created everything from nothing. As the creator of everything, there is nothing anyone can swear by that does not make God the one who is guaranteeing the oath. So if you swear by anything on the earth or in the heavens, you are in effect swearing by God. Jesus is simply saying, don't make an oath if you don't plan to keep it. You know, don't promise to do something you're not going to do. In verse 34, he says, don't swear at all. You know, over the years, it's been misunderstood by some to mean that we're never to make an oath for any reason. But it's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, don't make an oath that you're not going to keep. To break an oath in the name of God is to make God a liar. You know, an oath can be used to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1:23, the Apostle Paul uses an oath when he says, moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. You know, he's making an oath in the name of God, and he kept it. You know, it was okay because he didn't break the third commandment, because he actually did what he said he was going to do. You know, an oath is okay if it's needed to guarantee truthfulness. Hebrews 6:16, men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. You know, it can be used to settle a disagreement. You know, this is what happens in our court system every day. You know, if you're called to be a witness in a court case, what happens? You're sworn in, right? You put your right hand on the Bible and you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. You know, even the court system fully understands this. If you go into court and lie, you can be thrown into jail. They know the importance of an oath. you're placed under oath to guarantee that you will tell the truth, and if they catch you lying, you get thrown in jail. So in certain situations, oaths are okay. Jesus is telling us in this passage that, you know, use them when necessary. They're not to be part of your everyday conversation. You know, he's telling us to keep our word. Don't make a promise you're not going to keep. Christians are to be truthful. You know, I think this is especially true for parents. You know, our children have been given to us by God. We are to raise them in His ways, and all their life they will not leave, they will not depart from it. And nothing is more important to teach our children than to be honest and truthful. Jesus tells us that in everything we do, you know, just make our yes, yes, and our no, no. It's either yes or no. Tell the truth. You know, we should be known for our honesty and our character. I've always, you know, believed that if a person doesn't have their good word, they have nothing. When our daughter Kayla was sick, we did a Make-A-Wish trip. And there is a village in Florida called Give Kids the World Village. And it was started by a gentleman, and I cannot think of his name off the top of my head, but he was a Holocaust survivor. And when I say he was a Holocaust survivor, I mean he was in the woods with two German soldiers, and they told him to run, and he thought he was running so that they could shoot him in the back. But what he didn't know was that the war had just ended. They told him to run. They fired shots into the air to scare him. The war had ended, and that's how he watched his family be killed. He watched his in horrific ways. Well, he came to the U.S., got into hotel management, ended up in Orlando, and had a family that called him who had a daughter who was dying of cancer and wanted to go to Disney. And unfortunately, he was not able to get her in time. So he made a promise that would never happen again. So he started this, it's called Give Kids the World Village, where kids come in, and it's when I say Give Kids the World Village, it is a housing subdivision with probably 150 houses in it, condos, for the kids to come in, and there is a movie theater, there are multiple pools, there's pizza place, there's restaurants, there's several trains, there's anything and everything you can think of for these kids. And it's literally, when we went, our house number was, I think, 125. And the whole place is incredible. What does that have to do with any of this? That whole place was built on a handshake and a promise. There was never a piece of paper signed. There was never a loan written out. There was never an agreement on any sort of contract on anything. I don't know what their numbers are now, but it's every 7 days they're bringing in. It was 3,500 volunteers a week to keep the place running. But, you know, millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions in just operating expenses, but also just to get it up and running. And it was done on a promise. You know, he did it on a handshake, with businesses in the Orlando area and all over the country. But it was done on an oath, right? You know, made a promise, and they kept the promise, and that promise continues to bless families to this day. You know, if you can't be trusted to do what you say you're going to do, don't say you're going to do it. I mean, that's pretty simple. But so many people have trouble with this. So many people say they're going to do something just to get someone off their backs. You know, it takes me back to my youth. My mom telling me to clean my room. You know, go clean your bedroom. All right, Mom. Go clean your bedroom. Okay, you know, I'll get it done as soon as I get done playing. Well, 3 weeks later, you know, my mom is still saying, go clean your bedroom. And I'm still saying, well, I'm not done playing yet. You know, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and no be no. You know, either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. You know, there's nothing else to say. You know, there's nothing less to say. You know, society loves to swear to everything they say. In everyday conversations, you know, you hear, well, I swear this or I swear that. But to swear at all is to swear in God's name. You know, our legal system has made it law in this country that if you're caught lying while under oath, after placing your hand on the Bible and promising to tell the truth, you can be sent to jail. You know, people are terrified by that. People tell the truth under oath because they know the consequences. You know, they're clear. If you lie, you go to jail. The court system doesn't care. You know, if you had your fingers crossed or whatever, if you lie, you go to jail. This has kept a lot of people from lying under oath for a lot of years. You know, the court system is so serious about keeping oaths because property, you know, freedom, lives can be at stake depending on whether or not a witness tells the truth. You know, they want to make sure that when you take an oath, when you promise to tell the truth, you are going to do just that. You know, otherwise, if people freely lie while under oath in court, the entire court system is flawed. You know, the entire court system is a joke for all who see it. You know, our rights to live in a society not filled with criminals is based on people telling the truth under oath. So how much more important is it to tell, you know, to keep an oath that you make in the name of God? As Christians, we're called to be lights in a dark world. As Christians, we are partakers of God's divine nature. We are called to look differently from the world. We're called to bring glory to God. How can we expect to do this if we lie in His name? You know, who would want to be a Christian if all they see is Christians lying in the name of God or in the name of something that God has created? God does not break any promises that He has made. He never has and He never will. You know, if we want to truly be like Him, be partakers of His nature, we need to not offend Him by purposely doing something He wouldn't do. You know, He would never make a promise and not keep it, and neither should we. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You that everything that we need in order to live the way You want us to live is found in the pages of this incredible book. Lord, we know You are the truth, and so if we want to be like You, we need to be truthful. Thankfully, we know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness. Even when we commit the sin of breaking an oath, of swearing an oath in Your name and not keeping it, we have forgiveness through the shed blood of Christ. But certainly we should be striving to be more like You. We should be striving to be to be a brighter light in an ever darkening world. The only way we can do that is through a relationship with you, through the study of your word, through a relationship that transforms us into your image. And I just pray that that would be our desire. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.